Welcome back to Right Click,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly black hotties.
We're unfriendly today because, bitch, if I have to cook for myself three times in a day again, I'm Nandi K.
And I'm Vance Go. And, heard. I mean, we're going to talk about it, but, like, I do hate having to cook for myself every day after going to work and then like trying to figure out like, bitch, are you going to go work out today? Or are you going to, you know, pay your bills or whatever? Just, you know, the things. Do you got to take your car to the mechanic? Like all the things that you have to do after work.
And then you got to figure out what you're going to eat. Yeah, mind you, by the time you do it after work, how many times have you already had to make that same decision?
Right, right. Yeah. If you're someone that could do repetition, that might be easy for you. But
yeah, not for me. The way my autism is set up, it's not the kind that only wants one thing. Baby, variety is the spice of life. I hate repeating shit.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I also am weird about leftovers. You got about one day of leftovers out of me, and it's only certain leftovers I'ma eat. I'm very picky, but today we talking about cooking.
yes, cooking is a topic.
Yeah, we talking about cooking. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it's something we all gotta do. I have met some people who are adults who apparently don't do it well. There's some people that I know who have questionable takes about food. Some of our mutuals, I would say, have some very questionable takes about food. We'll shout them out when we post this episode. We'll tag her. She knows who she is. We know you're listening, boo. We love you.
I'm like, who is it? Put it in the chat right there.
I'll put it in the chat. Oh, no. I'll put it in. We'll just have to bleep it out. It's...
Oh, damn. I love her.
But am I not? She has very questionable food takes.
Yeah.
Because she'd be like, eat for fuel. It doesn't matter if it tastes good. I'm like, that's a wild thing to say. And I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'd be like, are you okay?
I feel like I know a couple of people like that. And I'm just like, couldn't be me. Like,
I just wonder if those people are all right. Like,
I don't get it. Also, the people, you know, it's the joke online at this point, but the people that don't center anything around food. So, like, if we're hanging out for 8 hours, there's no food. Like, those people.
It's a no. Do you hate me? I'm like, does this person that we mentioned fall in that same category? I would think probably.
Maybe if they're in charge of the thing, right?
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Obviously, it's not what other people are in charge when you have a say.
We're not having that because I can't even do that. Like,
I get mad. Like, no, I'm mad if you invite me to something and we're not having like eating as an activity because like my energy is depleted from socializing.
Right. I'm gonna lift you up with my hands.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's why we best friends, because this is what matters. But I mean, should we like start with our general like feelings about cooking? I personally love to cook like when I feel like it.
That's an important distinction. Same. If I don't feel like I'm under duress and like, you know, under the gun of capitalism and time management other stuff, I'm like, well, but yeah, when I'm feeling good, I love to cook. Even when I'm not feeling good, it's almost like working out where like you don't want to do it, but then you do it and you might feel okay.
I don't know. Sometimes, do you ever have that thing happen where you like cook and then when you're done cooking, you don't want to eat no more?
Sometimes, like I cooked last night and I think it was probably more good than not. But yeah, I think like bandwidth, like,
yeah,
like you said, having to consider what you're making, the time management, buying the ingredients. If it's literally just you doing it and you don't have like some help or like. Even Instacart, like, I mean, I try not to if I don't have to, but like, you know, even like having the resources to be able to have someone shop for you, like, it's a lot. And like, so I get when people are like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of, like, during the lockdown, we did a crazy year of, like, not cooking and just only ordering. Like, it was so bad. I don't even want to think about the amount of money we were spending on eating out. It was obscene. Like, yeah. I never did the math because I didn't want to be attacked. Yeah. In that way, to see like four digits like showing back at me and like the amount of takeout that I'm ordering. But now we're like, we've been back hardcore into our cooking for like a few years now. And I do have help. Yeah, I don't have to cook every night.
Help is important. I'm legit trying to start up like a like a meal train or something. Sure. Where like you cook something one night and the homies come get it from you. You don't drop it. They come get it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, cause I do cook too much. Like when I say too much, I don't mean quantity. I mean quantity, not quality. Like, you know what I'm saying? I cook
not
too much.
Not like food. You don't cook too much. Like that nigga need to stop cooking. He cooks so goddamn much.
Yeah. No, it's the quantity, the amount of food I cook is too much.
It's hard to cook for like one person or like.
It is. Like, you got to go out your way to like restrain yourself. And that's the other thing, what you said about leftovers. I'll be having leftovers for like 4 days.
Yeah, no. See, this is what I do. When I was just single and cooking, what I would do is like I would choose like a meat that might be my like meat for the next few days. And then I would cook it one way one day. I would have some left over to cook it another way another day. I like to do that with like ground pork. When Sean goes out of town, I'll take out some ground pork. Baby, I'm having ground pork for every meal in some way. I'm having ground pork for breakfast, sausage patties. I'm having rice, ground pork, and some vegetable for dinner. In the morning, I'm having ground pork, eggs, and rice again. Like, I can repeat like a main, but meals,
It do gotta change up. So I mean, it sounds like we're getting to it, but like, what is your overall relationship to cooking? Like, did you start? I think we got some of the lore on the podcast.
Yeah, already. I mean, I started cooking really young. I probably started cooking when I was like seven. When I was seven, my mom had a surgery on her hand, carpal tunnel surgery, and so she like lost the use of her dominant hand for like a while. And so I was the oldest daughter. How great.
Yeah.
So I had to start cooking, start helping. But I did like cooking. Like, first started with like breakfast. And then I remember I was making pot roast at like 9. So.
We such millennials, because you're saying all this and I'm not shook at all. But I feel like.
Yeah, no, I was making pot roast at 9 years old, like fully seasoning it, searing it in the pot.
Right. Like, yeah. Thinking about our friends, 9 year olds cooking a pot roast. I'm like, absolutely not.
Child,
like,
my sister, I can't imagine her making a pot roast. She 19.
Right.
She ain't even grow up cooking like that.
My nephews, my twin nephews, I couldn't see it. Couldn't imagine it. Hell, their brother.
Right.
Nope, none of it.
Right.
For me, I did not grow up cooking. Well, I did. That's not true. That's not fully true. I feel like I wasn't like formally taught to cook, you know, by my mom or anything like that. But my grandpa was the cook out of my grandma, grandpa. Mm-hmm. So I had it modeled for me that like men cook.
Yeah, my dad cooked a lot too.
So that was good. And then I had an uncle who had a bunch of kids, and we used to cook breakfast every Sunday for a bunch of kids, and he was always dating somebody that had kids. So it'd be like 12 kids.
Oh my God.
And me and his older daughter, because you know the oldest daughter's the first son.
Yes.
Me and her, we had to cook.
The older daughter's the first son is crazy.
You know how it is.
It's not true. A son. Sons don't get treated like that.
Right. But it's the responsible one that has to bear the brunt of every, the office manager is what we call it.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Involuntary office manager.
Right.
Damn, that's crazy, cooking on Saturdays. Yeah, that's also, I do want to bring that up. My daddy was always the better cook and still is. My mom, she does what she can. But she was a burnout ass mama. Everything on 400. Like,
yeah.
everything on broil, like, nigga, I don't want to broil leg quarters no more. They're burnt. The bone is burnt up.
Would it be curled up the bone, tight, taut.
What's your first dish that you remember, like, cooking?
I feel like for me, it was always like some Asian stuff, like teriyaki chicken with jalapenos or something. Like, when my mom, you know, I feel like all our moms are on the same Bluetooth network. When they get that update to say we don't cook no more, you know what I'm talking about. When my mom got that, I was a teenager. She stopped cooking. So, like, I used to just get frozen chicken cutlets and put it in my noodles. So, like, it always started with, like, jizzing up the noodles. But, yeah, once I started getting, a little more, I started adding vegetables. I then started learning searing techniques and sauces. And then it just kind of evolved into, like, you know, where I'm at now.
Yeah, my mom never stopped cooking, real. That was one thing she didn't. Stop. Now, did we have to make our own meals sometimes? Yes, but it wasn't like dinner usually. She would usually make dinner. Now, again, I told you everything on 400, so it wasn't like Chateau.
Technically.
Chateau Delish. It wasn't none of that, bitch. It was very burnt. Chateau burnt, bitch. Like, but. But I think I said pot roast. Pot roast is probably the first, like, real deal, like, thing I remember making, being like, oh, yeah, I'm not for play anymore.
And that's a good one, because, like, it's not to say it's easy, but, like, yeah, I think once you got the season and the sear and then the braising, then, like, you can do a competent one.
And it's like, and I did it on a stove, right? So it wasn't like I didn't have no slow cooker, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I had to, like, watch it. I also had to be, like, patient, because pot roast is something that takes a long time and you have to cook it on low. You got to watch the liquid so the liquid don't fully reduce down and leave your shit dry, you know. Like, I think it was a good one to teach you, like, good food, like, you kind of have to, like, take your time sometimes to do it.
No, that's a good one. Do you have a specialty?
I can really make anything. Like, I feel so, like, confident in the kitchen. There's not really anything I feel like I can't make. But I am particularly good at frying, because I've also been frying for a really long time. So I would probably say that's, like, what I'm... Again, I can make anything, but I am particularly good at frying. I do feel like a lot of bitches can't really fry like that. And so I...
That was my other question is, you got any blind spots? You got anything you don't feel confident in? I feel like we just heard it.
No.
So for me, frying. I hate to admit this on this black ass podcast, but no, I didn't grow up frying. So, like,
you're afraid of the grease.
I don't like to fry, because I know me. If I fried all the time, I would just, you know, I gotta maintain height and weight for my job.
See, this is the thing. This is the thing about when you can fry on your own, it actually tempers you, because it's so much work. Like, can't be frying stuff all the time. It's a mess. Like, too many bowls and bags.
Yeah, but, like, so I'm not a confident fryer. Like, I fried a couple of weeks ago. My first batch, you didn't even get the picture of the first batch, because we're not going to play ourselves.
Oh.
Second batch, controlled the temperature, got it together.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the concept, but I don't have 10,000 hours
It don't take 10,000 hours to get good at frying, though.
To be a pro at anything, it takes 10,000
hours. I don't think I've even fried 10,000 hours in my life.
No one has. I think the concept is just, if you do it so much, you're a pro, and I'm not a pro.
My game recently with, like, switching to straight up only cast iron, which is like, I think, a level up, because cast iron is a beast on its own. It gets so hot, you have to really feel confident about maintaining temperature and stuff. But, like, Sean taught me some dope shit, like, because Sean comes from
cookers.
I come from cooks on my daddy's side.
Mm-hmm.
Sean's mama's side is, like, legit ass caterers. Like, they got businesses cooking. Sean taught me how to put, you put cut up onions in the oil to keep it from burning.
What?
Never heard that in my life.
Me neither. How big?
It works, and it also tastes good.
How big are the onions?
Just little. You can just cut them up however. Just like you just put in a, just a little bit in there.
I mean, I feel
a fine smattering, you know.
Some of our South American brothers and sisters, I know they put onions and peppers in their frying oil. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the other techniques, but again, I just need to do it so that way I could get better and more confident.
Yeah.
But I do love to read about like cooking techniques and getting it together in that way. So yeah, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a specialty now, do you think?
No, I mean, I feel pretty much like you, minus frying, but, sure. But I don't know, like, I love
think you can fry, you just don't feel confident.
Yeah, like, that's what, yeah, that's yeah. exactly what I'm saying, like, yeah. I don't feel, I'm not a confident fryer, that's why I use the language confident, yeah. But you know that makes a difference.
Like, it makes a huge difference. If you're scared frying, you're not gonna be,
when you know what you're doing and you just execute, that's how you cook a good dish, right? And
then, now like, you can know, still fuck up, get too confident. I've definitely gotten too confident on occasion. But
I ain't there. But I love a braised situation, like a short rib or an oxtail. Same. Or, you know, just even a pot roast. Like, cause like you said, it ain't people pretend that it's like you can't fuck this up. But I'm like, you can.
No, you can.
You can.
Oh, one time me and Sean had a cooking contest with short ribs, and I didn't get to cook mine long enough. Cost me the contest.
Right, because it was probably firm, right, or something.
Yeah, they was they wasn't tender enough.
Right, because you don't take your time and it's not low enough. Or, like, I think I learned one time, like, if you hit it too hard before you braise it, like, that could affect the... But anyway.
Oh yeah, you gotta let the meat get. It's like letting the meat get to room temperature, because if you sear cold meat, it'll shock it. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Child, listen.
Chilies and stews also, because I'm really good at layering and developing flavor. So yeah, I would say like a chili or a stew. I'm trying to up my game. I didn't send you none of the pictures, but I'm trying to up my game on searing the chicken and controlling the temperature and getting it, you know, getting that good sear on it without overcooking.
Yeah.
I'll send you some pictures. I've been doing it with thighs, but I'm going to up it to breasts, because I think breasts is an actual testament of the skin.
It is, because anyway, who even wants that? Like, I don't even be having breasts in my house.
They're sad, ain't it?
Yeah, I don't really invite breasts into my house, only thighs, as we well know. I'm a big proponent of thighs just in general,
best cut.
Across the board one. This doesn't only relate to chicken,
right? This to poultry, it's to humans, people. Right?
I love thighs,
right? Speaking of sadness, any food trauma around
my
like
food trauma? You know, I think a lot of African Americans will agree with me. Well, I have trauma on spaghetti. Like, I literally would not even eat spaghetti until like 2 years ago, because that was my daddy's like
go to.
Yeah. And he used to be like, eat a spaghetti sandwich. And then we had, you know, you got to eat spaghetti until it's gone. And he literally used to be like, it's spaghetti in there. Eat a spaghetti sandwich.
Yeah.
And Daddy, they make enough. No.
Right. And they make enough for a small platoon. Like, they make enough for like a squadron of men.
Yeah.
I'm like, nigga, what we need 30 days of spaghetti for?
Also, like, nigga, I don't want to eat spaghetti for 4 nights in a row. That's crazy.
And then it'd be, I don't know how y'all did it, but like my mom used to do the sauce and the meat all together. And then like by that fourth day, the sauce be crunchy and crisp.
The noodles don't. This is what I'm saying. It's like y'all not even separating it that a nigga could have a spaghetti to eat noodles. Later.
Yup. Yeah. So same to all, actually. Now I don't even make the sauce. I make the sauce on the side.
Same.
And I make fresh noodles every time I eat the sauce. So when I do eat it, it's still fresh. Tastes fresh.
Yeah. I've also recently healed my spaghetti trauma, making it how I want. I also do separate pasta. If we have a little bit of pasta left over from the night before, that can make it to the next day.
Right.
But that's it. And also I freeze all the rest. I only save enough for one more
couple days.
One more day in my house. The rest is getting frozen because that's a quick meal. When I don't feel like cooking, I say, what are we going to have? Oh, my God, the freezer, spaghetti, baby. There's noodles in there. We're having spaghetti.
A month from now, when I forgot that I'm sick, I'm not sick of this no more.
Right. Yeah. When I forgot that it's my night to cook and it's 5 o'clock.
Yep. Put that thing. My other food trauma, beans and rice.
Oh, no.
I had a stepdad, raggedy motherfucker. It was a punishment that he was like, he was in the Navy. He was just like, I'm going to do y'all how we did the people in the Navy were like basically bread and water. But they were like, that's inhumane. So they did rice and beans. Wow. That shit was, it was like essentially unflavored. We were eating it for like 2 weeks, maybe longer. And it got so bad, like, we had to call my grandpa. Like, the kids were like, grandpa, we need intervention. They doing too much.
Whoa, not trying to call grandpa. I said, grandpa, listen, please.
Grandpa came over, had a talk, and then, like, it cleared up. Like, they stopped that. But I couldn't eat beans for you.
What kind of beans were they?
Bitch, it was, like, sad people. Like, it was probably pinto. But it was just, like, I don't even eat pinto beans now, but like it was not seasoned right either. And then like they were putting like paste salsa on it. Like it was, somebody need to ask what
that's
that,
abuse. That is definitely abuse. Also, like I love rice and beans so much.
Good. No, it's
like,
good. It's good.
And other like black eyed peas, lima beans, black beans. Red beans, basically rice, any bean. I love rice. Oh, can you make rice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so
on the stove?
Absolutely. Okay. So I have a rice cooker, so I'm spoiled today. But like, no, this thing with all my close friends or any of my friends. If you at my house and you tell me you can't make rice, I'll force you to make rice right there. I teach you.
Sean is one of those. Sean also says they hate rice, but I think that's because they don't want to make it.
You're making some rice. So I've taught several of my friends to make rice. Like that's their memory of me.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Like, they're gonna be like, taught me how to make rice.
Breaking generational curses.
Right. Because why you can't make rice now?
You cook your rice in water or broth?
These days, broth.
Yeah, I do a little half and half. I do like half water, half broth.
It depends on what I'm doing, right? Because like my should be seasoned. So like sometimes I don't even season the rice. Like maybe a little salt. But nah, people be like, one of my friends are like, I was like, it's going to be fine.
You know what? When Sean makes rice, Sean like puts butter in it and some spices, baby.
I'm not anti. I just don't. Like,
I love butter.
Butter?
So, butter is so good. Butter is so good. All right. Well, I guess we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you having for dinner tonight?
Probably leftovers. I made the garlic noodles that you get at the restaurant with the spaghetti noodles and the garlic and the soy sauce. And then I added some of that chicken that I made with like some cabbage, some carrots, mushrooms. Low key, I put my foot in it, but I made enough for like 4 days. So I need to share with people. That's really what it is.
Right, 4 days or freeze some, child. It's going to have to go in the freezer soon.
Yeah, like you know? Tonight.
Yeah, tonight I think for dinner we're having Popeyes because Sean said that's what they really want. And last night was supposed to be Sean's dinner night, but I went out for oysters. And so looks like we're having Popeyes tonight. Tomorrow is Thursday, though, and it'll be my night. So I think we're going to have a whole chicken because I'm going to take that bitch out today.
So, spatchcocking, you be doing it?
Spatchcock that hoe. I told you about spatchcocking.
Yeah, I just started
spatchcocking,
bitch.
Baby, I told you about that. I said, this is the way to get your skin
crispy,
evenly
all around,
crisp.
All around.
Because also, I always make gravy when I make a whole chicken. So you can just pour that grease right in the pan. I be making gravy from scratch. You make your gravy from scratch?
Absolutely. Yeah. No,
that was one thing my daddy used to make. My daddy makes the best liver and gravy. Whenever he used to make it, which I also make it now, But sometimes when I'm like, really, that's a real nostalgic meal for me to be like, I really want some liver. But whenever he would make liver, the next day we would have, for breakfast, we would have gravy grits. And he would put the rest of the leftover gravy in the grits with eggs. Damn, that's why I'd be running up his cat. Every time he cooking, I'd be like, I'll be there.
I'm on my way.
And I'd be packing up plates. I'd be leaving with a fucking a grocery store worth of food.
What are parents that we're in contact with for, if not to
that talk about it?
Right, and eat talk their about food. It. You made food. Oh my god, thanks. I love you.
Thank you. Let me come over there. I need to call him and ask him for some money while I'm thinking about it.
Right. Well, today's episode is sponsored by We Got Food at Home.
Wow, an attack on my life points.
The anti-eating out app. No, I'm kidding. That's not a real thing. But anyway.
Oh, that's a good idea for like a recipe app. Bleep this part out, Aaron. We don't want nobody to take it. We got food at home. I'm going to work on that. No,
we should do it.
Cut that part out, Aaron. We don't want nobody taking our good idea with nigger recipes. Big thanks to our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Ram Freeman.
I've been Vance Go, and you can find me on Threads at Sir the Thought and Instagram as well.
And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi K A Y Y Y. See y'all.
See y'all.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santi. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.